between your natural life and your walk with God. You cannot let one overshadow the other. And we get too caught up in cares of life. We get too caught up in, and every one of us have natural responsibilities. But we have to make that choice of how to balance the working of the Spirit of God in our life against our natural responsibilities and duties. Go ahead and raise your hand, son. You know and rest assured of one thing. God has moved you for His purpose. You take what God is doing and you walk in it. And I'm telling you by the Spirit of God, you prepare to physically move to this area. Because God is going to use you up here. And God has set this in place according to His divine will and at His ordained time. And He's put you here. And there is a visitation of the Holy Ghost that steps down inside of you, and people around you on the job are going to know that Christ is being formed in you. For the light will shine, and it shall break forth, and you shall bear witness of the nature, the compassion, the mercy, and the deliverance of the Christ that's now going to break forth and be revealed in you. Prepare. Wait for my Spirit to move and order your steps and direct your path. For our God and putting everything in place. That's thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God's already spoke too many times of a great move up here. Brother Donlin, that prophecy in Fort Payne, God told you He'd use you greatly in the LJ Carter K area. But see, we got to take God at His word, and we got to fight for what God tells us. God ministered to you, Sister Deborah. I remember my son standing there that Friday morning and speaking. He said, the words God's speaking are not for this meeting. He said, they're for after this meeting. They are instructions of what to do. And every one of us was given instruction of what to do. And then when we come back, the Lord gave me that word, and Paul told Timothy, he said, take these prophecies and by these prophecies war a good warfare. And I stood right here and told everyone, write them down. Go back, look over the words, write them down, and use them to fight for what God told you. God gave you instruction. He was going to give you the benefit and the privilege to teach your grandson. Go back, write every word down, take it to prayer, and fight with it. God don't make mistakes. God ain't going to move like you want Him to, and when you want Him to, and how you want Him to, because He said, my ways ain't your ways, and my thoughts ain't your thoughts. But God knows what He's doing. But if we're not going to take instruction, and we're not going to follow on into what God's doing, that prophecy she was talking about come out the 3rd of March of this year. God spoke, and He said, you ain't going to hear my words. You ain't going to follow my instructions. You ain't going to endure my chastisement. And chastisement can be instruction. It can be correction. It can be direction. But it can also be just what it says. God don't get your attention. He'll pop a belt on your hide. But He said, if you ain't going to take my instruction, then He said, I'll set you aside like bastards. He said, I won't treat you like a father talking to your son. If you ain't going to listen to me, He said, you'll be set aside. And a bastard is a child born without a father. Go back and listen to the word. I didn't say it. The Spirit of God said it. It's in the Scripture. Is it not? Is that word not in the Scripture? Don't y'all look at me. Oh, well, Brother Meadows said a bad word. No, it's in the Scripture. It's in the Scripture. God said, if I can't teach you, if I can't correct you, order your steps, direct you, he said, you ain't going to listen to me. He said, I'll set you aside and I won't be a father to you, but you'll be bastards. You'll be children out there without a father. You don't want that. I don't want that. That's what God told us. So it's time to let God teach us, and it's time to put our hand to the plow and lay hold of what God promised. God's made us some great promises. You go back and listen to the words that's been spoken in this church, it's mind-boggling. I'm serious, it's mind-boggling, the word that's come out in this church. And that's because God loves us, He cares about us, and He wants to move us forward. God's put you in a perfect place to seek Him and enter into relationship in that word and prayer. I mean, God's give you a perfect time to take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. I ain't forgot what God spoke to you. You know that call's there, Sister Deborah. You know God's going to use you. He may not use you here, but He can use you in a one-on-one. When you go through heartaches, you go through hardships, you go through things of life, you learn and you be a witness. And let that light, man, the Christ that I serve, He's in here and He's life, and that life is light. Amen? That life is light. You realize how many people are sitting in darkness and are worshiping in darkness. There are people all over the world going to get together today and sing songs and pray and tell the Lord how much they love Him and never one time feel the Spirit of God. Never one time come into that relationship and know the reality of the power and the authority and dominion of God that God's revealed to us. Who are we? What, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 people in a little church sat on the backside of a mountain in North Georgia, and God's Spirit just sets down in here. Time after time after time after. It ain't nothing we do to deserve it. It's not our right. It's a privilege to come to this place that God's placed us in. To come right here, right now, it's a privilege. I had somebody contact me that I ain't seen him in 30 years. And wanted me to call them and set up a time to pray with them and their family. So about 2 weeks ago, I set up a time. They didn't call me. So I was up studying this morning. Got up at 3:30 and the Lord started doing me. I started studying. About 5:30, they started buzzing my phone on Messenger. I wasn't about to answer. Because I'm going to tell you something. Contact with me is not your given right. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. The word God's put in me is to minister to people, but I minister to people by the leading of the Spirit. I ain't going to pick my phone up and answer just when you get good and ready to call. I ain't doing it. My wife, I had just laid down about 5:30 and my phone started buzzing. She said, "What's going on?" I said, "I got somebody trying to contact me over Messenger," and they about 4 times right in a row, I cut them off and they just come right back. I said, "I know how to fix that. I hope my phone put a block on the phone number." Now you will find out that being able to contact me is not your God-given right. It's a privilege. Y'all better take advantage of the privilege God's put right here, because there's some word, there's some revelation, there's some working of the Spirit being preached, and we need to take hold of it, and we need to act on it, and we need to do everything we can to possess the gifts and the callings that God's put in our lives. And I was telling my wife the other day, and I've done told y'all, as far as I know right now, the way God's moving, we're going to Africa a year from now. October of 2020, I plan on being in Africa preaching. So if I'm in Africa preaching, who's going to step right here? Who's going to step right here? They ain't going to shut the church down for a month. Because I expect by this time next year, this church to be nearly full. Somebody going to have the ability and the wisdom and understanding, or multitude somebody's going to have to be able to step right here and take over. Because I told her, I said, I expect probably a half dozen people go with us. I said, they maybe come back in 2 weeks. I said, but we may stay there a month. We may stay there 2 months. Because when the apostles went out in the early church, they didn't go out for a 3-day revival. They didn't go out for a 2-week revival. There's places Paul went and stayed a year and a half, 2, 3 years plus and taught people. Man talking to me from over there got 37 churches. And another one got a half a dozen. That's 40 plus churches. You can't minister to 40 plus churches in 14 days. Not real easy. But we already setting up dates to live stream. And I'm going to teach them the doctrine of Christ. I'm going to teach them the Word of God. I'm going to teach them what they need. I don't know what they believe, but I'm going to find out. And I'm going to preach this doctrine of Christ, this gospel of the kingdom. And if they don't take up on that, God will put me somewhere else. I'm not going to invest time and money and prayer in people that do not want to serve God according to the doctrine of Christ. Because that's what I live by. Amen. That's what I live by, and that's what I'm going to live by. And people that I preach to, they're going to live by it. Ministers that are around me, they're going to walk under this doctrine, or they can go somewhere else. Because there ain't but one doctrine. There ain't but one doctrine. Amen. Y'all appreciate the Lord today? Man, there's something kicking in my spirit. I'm excited about what God's doing. There's a stir. At the same time, this man was talking to me from Africa. A man contacted me from India, wanted to know if I'd come to India. And I told him, I said, by the Spirit of the Lord, I said, I'll probably be back to India. And I sent him to our website so he could look at the YouTube. Because about any place now can download YouTube. I mean, they download it in Africa. That's how we preach live stream to them over there. It's through YouTube Live, just like we're doing with y'all right now. And then he contacted me back. He said, next time you do a live stream service to Africa, he said, you let me know. He said, I'm going to tune in. But I don't know the time difference. I know Africa's, what, seven hours ahead of us. Let's say when we done the live stream, we done it at 12, and that was 7 o'clock at night there. So they 7. But India is like 11 and a half. So they're another 4 hours later. So if I do a live stream into Africa at 12 o'clock in the afternoon, that's 7 o'clock at night in Africa, but that's 11:30 in India. But then he texted me back and said, you go to Africa? He said, you let me know. He said, I'm going to fly down and be in your meeting. He said, I want to come. I want to come be in your meeting. People need a word of deliverance everywhere. And we're setting on this great visitation. Just sitting on it. Jesus didn't give you what he gave you to put it under a bushel. He said, when I light a candle, he said, I'll put it on a candlestick where it can light up everything in the house. He said, I don't cover it up. Get the cover off your light. Get the cover off your light. If you can't do nothing else, do like we used to do in Sunday school and hold your finger up. Start singing this little light of mine. See, I ain't going to sing this little light of mine because ain't no little light in me. The light of the world's in me. The light of the world's in me. He lives in here. And he's taking more and more control. I can feel it, man. Man, sometimes I can just be there at the house studying and meditating. I'll feel the Spirit of God swell up in me. And I'll tell my wife, I said, man, something fixing to explode. I feel it. I feel the Spirit of God get ready to explode. There's a couple of times I told her, I said, we might get ready to go downstairs to the studio and turn the live stream on, get everything set up. I said, the Spirit of prophecy may just bust out of me at any second. I can feel it working. I can feel this thing turning. I can feel it burning. I can feel it high-stepping. And I'm ready to see God move. I'm ready to see God. Are you ready to see God move? I said, are you ready to see God move? Well, don't sit back and wait for God to move through me. Don't sit back and just come down and say, man, I hope God's got a word this morning. Come with something in your spirit. Come with something in your soul. Come with in that potential that God can use you. This is for you to learn and move forward in ministry, children. This is for God to bring you forward. This is for God to begin to perfect the gifts in your life and you lay hold of what God wants you to do. I'm just here as an overseer. I'm here to get you established. I'm here to get you settled. But you're going to have to dig in. Justin, I don't know, son. You may be standing here a year from now. You may be in Africa a year from now. You don't ever know what God's going to do. Amen. We don't ever know what God's going to do. But there's one thing about it. We got to make ourselves available and we got to make ourselves presentable for God to move like He wants to move. And I'm telling you, Spirit of God's ready. Spirit of God. I got so amazed, and I may have told y'all this, but I think it was when we was in Fort Payne in October 2017 where God moved so great. But it was like, I think that prophecy came forth on the 27th, but I think I done a radio broadcast on the 25th, and I found it in my recordings. I went back and started listening to it. The very thing God visited me with 3 weeks later in that church in Blue Ridge, I preached on October 25th, scripture for scripture, and almost word for word about the light. I was astounded. I couldn't believe it. I preached on the light. I preached on Matthew 4. I preached on Isaiah 60. Then when the Lord visited me in Blue Ridge on November the 12th, 2017, that's what He spoke to me. He said, a new move of My Spirit has begun. There's a new move of the Spirit of God that's begun. It's begun. Hallelujah. And I want to go ahead and get in these scriptures. If you give these out, all right, I'll let you go ahead and give them out. Because if you will take instruction and do it, but Don, what kind of gun you use when you go hunting? 30-06. That's one I gave you. Okay. What's it good for? 60, 70 yards? Got a scope on it? You ever get that deer in the crosshairs? And when you pull that trigger, you don't want to hear click because there's no ammo in it. We got to arm ourselves. Amen. God ain't going to keep waiting for us to arm ourselves. Matter of fact, if we don't arm ourselves, He gonna stand somebody up and put them in our place. And y'all think my wife was kidding. I'm telling you, I've seen people miss their calling. She was talking about her uncle. That was a good man. Loved God. And he got caught up with the wrong preacher, and it's like a spirit got a hold of him. It didn't matter what that preacher done wrong. He couldn't get away from him. Could not get away from him. And that man had a call on his life. I mean, we talked about God two or three different times. I wasn't around him a lot when I did. And he called me one day and wanted to meet me for lunch. And we sat there for 2.5 hours and talked about God. And I gave him some instruction, and he asked me about some things. And I gave him the wisdom God had given me and gave him some instructions and told him what I would do. And when he didn't follow, it's like everything turned just like that. You can miss your calling. You can miss what God's chosen you for. That's the reason the Lord said, make your calling and your election sure. Make it sure. I remember the Lord spoke to me in 97. I won't ever forget it. I had gone down to Sister Vera Daniels. I had ministered to her in like, God, I don't even know what year it was. Probably the early 90s. I mean, she started a work in Twin City, Georgia. I went there with a tent in 90. I sent my tent down there, and they preached a week or 2 weeks before I got to come in. Then I preached another week, if not another 2 weeks, and had a revival there. She started a church there in a little old building, wasn't even as big as this one. It had about 25 people, and that thing was packed. And somewhere in the time, I think she's there, like 7 years before God moved and they went in that bigger church. But somewhere in that time, I ministered to her. She's going to build a church. And I said, I see a church going to seat 500. I said, what I told her, I see a church going to seat 500. Buddy, in 97, she called me and said, Brother Metter, she said, I want you to come down and dedicate the church. Said, you and another preacher's one prophesied to me, God's going to give us this church. Had a beautiful church, 60 foot wide by 120 foot long, where they'd been in a little old bitty building, wasn't even the size of this one. And God gave them a church. They built it from the ground up, 60 foot wide, 120 foot long. She said, I want you to come down and help dedicate it, because you are the one who spoke the word of the Lord to me along with another minister what God was going to do. And while I was getting ready in that meeting to go dedicate that church, Lord spoke to me just as plain. Brother Donald, Lord spoke to me and said, I don't have to have you to do what I'm going to do. I mean, you spoke to me just as plain. And I thought, what did I do? But he says, what he told me? He said, I don't need you. I don't have to have you to do what I'm going to do. He said, I don't have to have you to perform my will. He said, I can raise up 100 just like you put in your place. He said, but I've chosen you. He said, it is my will, my desire to have you come forth and what I've chosen you for. But you rest assured of one thing. I don't have to have you. You're talking about something sober you up. Because sometimes we think God can't move without us. Let me tell you something. God's going to do his will regardless of what me and you do. Me and you are not going to stop. We're not going to hinder. It ain't, whether you do God's will or not, ain't even going to be like a speed bump and slow him down. He's going to do what he's going to do. And he's going to hasten his word to perform it. When it's his time, it's coming to pass. But I'm going to tell you something. God sobered me up. He told me straight out plain. He said, I don't have to have you to do my will. He said, what I've spoken, he said, I don't need you. He said, I've chosen you to be a part of it, but I don't have to have you. And buddy, God will sober you up real quick. And I said, okay. He let me know I better get my act together. And I better listen to his voice and I better do according to his will. God's chosen us. God's chosen this church here for a great move of God. But he don't have to have us. Amen. He don't have to have us. Y'all just remember that. He don't have to have us. Is it his will? Oh, yeah. He told me in 89, he said, I have chosen you. He said, you are predestined and foreordained to become a son of God in these last days. He said, I didn't bring you forth because your mama wanted a boy after three girls. He said, I placed you. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. He said, I placed you in your mother's womb to bring you forth at the time I brought you forth. Just like he told Jeremiah, he said, before I put you in your mama's womb, he said, I knew you. He said, when I brought you forth, he said, I'd already ordained your calling. So the Lord told me, he said, I put you in your mama's womb. He said, you wasn't born by the will of flesh. You wasn't born by the will of man. He said, you was born by my will. It's my will to bring you forth. And it's my will for you to come into that place to be a predestined, foreordained son of God in these last days. But he let me know it's up to me to possess it. Just because he's ordained it don't mean it's just going to happen. I got to fight for this. I got to possess it. I got to make the choice to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord and walk up right before him. I can't go out here and live in any old way I want to, Sister Deborah, and God do what he told me. It ain't going to happen. I can't let myself get overwhelmed by the cares of life. I can't let my mind get consumed with all these things of the natural. I got to focus on that spirit realm, and I got to balance. You know, people aren't taught to balance. I wasn't taught to balance when I first come to the Lord. Everything was one-sided. Everything was go, 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 preach, 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 preach. Anybody gets in your way, you leave them behind. No. It's got to be a balance. And when God showed me this years ago, I started teaching the young ministers that was coming up under my... I said, there's got to be a balance. Y'all remember me teaching this in Fort Payne? There's got to be a balance. You can take care of so much in the natural, but somewhere you got to cut it off. And you got to let your spirit man come alive. There'll be a time that one will overshadow the other. But you can't just go all the way one-sided. It's got to be a balance. Amen. That's when the Lord told me. He said, I didn't marry that wife. You did. He said, I didn't bring sons and daughters in this world. You did. He said, it ain't her responsibility to take care of everything and be there for them all the time. And you go preach. He said, there's got to be a balance. You brought them in this world and learned to be a father to them. Amen. The Lord has some things, the Lord has to teach you some hard lessons. But if you got your notes there, and like I told you, I don't need these notes. These are for your benefit. And I want you to start taking them and studying them. When I gave you all these, I gave you a loose leaf notebook to put them in. But if you've kept all the notes that I've give y'all since July 5th, 2015, there ain't no way y'all putting them in that loose leaf notebook. Well, go to Walmart and spend $5 and get you one of them great big ones. Or go to Costco and you can buy 4 or 5 of them for what you can buy one at Walmart. And I guarantee you, if you'll go through, put them in date order, and go through and start studying them, your mind will be blown at what God's revealed and what God's brought forth in the Scriptures and the way God's talked to us. If you start applying them to your life, you'll find something will change. That's the reason I poke them holes in them, so people can put them in a loose leaf binder. And I'm writing the Bible right now with I'm doing the Bible with commentary. And I'm putting them in a loose leaf binder. And as I finish each book, I'm going to offer it to the people. Because if y'all wait till I get the whole Bible done, we might be 90 years old. Or I might be 90 years old. But I told my wife the other morning, I got up about 3:30 and was up to about 6:30 working on my Bible. The Lord started stirring me up. And what I do, I write the Scripture, and then I'll go down 5 or 6 Scriptures, and I'll comment on what God showed me about that Scripture and what He's taught me about it. And I'm going to put it in a loose leaf Bible. And I said, well, I'm through about the 2nd chapter of Genesis, and I think I've got 8 pages. She says, oh my God. She said, what's it going to look like when you get through Genesis? I said, probably going to be about that thick. I said, we get that Bible done, it's probably going to look like this. But people need teaching. Amen. People need teaching. All right, y'all with me? Very first page, first verse. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. And I'm reading from 2 John 9-11. Verse 10. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Verse 11. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Now in these scriptures, you see, and it's odd, I can call Paul an apostle, but for me to call John Peter an apostle, I just can't see the... But the apostle John, exhorting about the doctrine of Christ. Doctrine, singular. Y'all see this? Doctrine. One doctrine of Christ, and instructing people to abide in or live by this doctrine, and not to receive anyone that comes to you bringing any other gospel or doctrine. The Apostle Paul warned us in Galatians 1:6-9, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that hath called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel or another doctrine. He said, I marvel at you that y'all are so soon removed from the gospel of Christ or the gospel of the kingdom that you've been moved into another gospel or another doctrine or another teaching, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you, which would pervert the gospel of Christ or change the doctrine or change the gospel of the kingdom. Are y'all following with me? But though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. You see what Paul said? Brother Donald, if I come to you, and I said, I'm Angel Gabriel sent from God, and I've got another doctrine, I've got another gospel than what you've already heard, Paul said, let it be accursed. Why? There is no other gospel. There is no other doctrine other than the gospel of the kingdom. Other than the doctrine of Christ is the gospel of the kingdom. Are y'all hearing me? It is the gospel of the kingdom. Jesus didn't preach anything else. The apostles didn't preach anything else. People get so upset with me when I say this, but I can take you to the scripture and show you in Matthew the 4th chapter when Jesus walked in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, and they that sat in the very shadow of death saw great light is sprung up, and Jesus came forth preaching the gospel of the kingdom. There's nothing else to be preached. And we've sat back, and we've let people preach everything but the gospel of the kingdom, and we've not withstood it. We've not withstood it. We've not stood up against it. We've not looked at it as false doctrine. Let me tell you something. Anything deviates from the doctrine of Christ, anything deviates from the kingdom of God, it's false doctrine. It's polluted. It's defiled. People don't need to hear it. You can preach repentance. You can preach baptism in water. But when you start teaching people how to live, you better be preaching the doctrine of Christ. Because there's nothing else can be preached. Word says it right here. It says, if any man come into your house, bring any other doctrine, just like that man come to you, would you go back to working with him? He didn't bring the doctrine of Christ to you. He didn't bring a pure gospel. There's too much junk out there. Judging by the words of these holy apostles, it definitely makes a difference on what you believe, on who you're listening to, and what is being taught. This is why I stress and emphasize the preaching and teaching of the gospel of the kingdom. This is the gospel that Jesus and the apostles preached. There isn't any other gospel that needs to be preached or taught unto man. Too many people are accepting doctrines of men and theology. Y'all know what theology is? It's the study of the Word of God as what man thinks God said. That's what theology is. It's the theory of religion. The theory of religion. I can tell you the theory of religion, or I can tell you what God said. I remember when I first got saved, and man, I studying and fasting and praying, and I'd go to somebody older than the Lord in me, and I'd say, explain this to me right here. And I'd give them a scripture, and I'd ask them to explain it, and then start give me all this doctrine and start. So that ain't what that says. That's not what that says. I want to know what this means. Well, I'm trying to tell you what it means. But you ain't telling me what that means. I said, this is what Jesus said. Well, son, you're young in the Lord, and Jesus didn't really mean what he said when he said that right here. I said, well, if he didn't mean what he said, why didn't he say what he meant? Any y'all ever run into this? People try to explain away the Word of God because of what man's taught? This is why the church is powerless today. The pure doctrine of Christ has been diluted, polluted, broken down. until there's no power left in it. Because everybody's took their part and went out over here and called them something else. And they didn't like what they was teaching, so they took a part. And all you got is all these denominations out here. And look up the word denomination. It means divider. Denomination means division or to divide by. So all these denominations had divided the word of truth, the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the kingdom, and we left with a weak, putrefied, watered down gospel that has no power in it. It's time to take a stand against it. You better start taking a stand against it, because I sure am. I sure am. Because I'm going to preach truth. I'm going to declare Christ. I'm going to preach against sin. I remember I got in a discussion with a preacher on Facebook, and he finally told me, he said, well, we ain't supposed to preach against sin anymore. I said, do what? He said, you ain't supposed to preach against sin anymore. I said, I tell you what. I said, I think our conversation's over right now, because this thing fixing to get ugly. Ain't supposed to preach against sin. You're just supposed to preach theology. Preach what man thinks God said. And live by how man wants to live. See, that's the carnal mind trying to interpret the things of the Spirit of God. Can't be done. Paul said it couldn't be done, 1 Corinthians 2. He said, the carnal mind does not understand the things of God. Can't hear them, can't discern them, can't see them, can't understand them. So we got a bunch of carnally minded people trying to interpret what the Spirit of God's supposed to have said. And it's to please everybody's flesh. Not me. I've always made a statement. If I'm going to hell, I'm going to hell first class. I ain't going to do just enough to go to hell. If I'm going to go to hell and I'm going to be there for eternity, I'm going to enjoy my time here. See, Brother Meadow, you shouldn't say things like that. Well, what's the sense in trying to do just enough to appease your conscience and then wind up going to hell anyway? But a standard's got to be set. How many times have you talked to somebody? Never one of you had people say this to you. Well, we don't believe just like you do. But we all believe in the same God and we're trying to get to the same place. No, you don't. You don't believe in my God. You ain't trying to get to where I'm trying to get, because I ain't trying to get to heaven. I'm trying to get to the kingdom of heaven. You're trying to do what? Yeah, there's a big difference between heaven and the kingdom of heaven. I believe in heaven, and I believe in going to heaven. But Jesus said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And ain't no man coming to the Father unless he comes through me. I'm the door, and I'm the only door. Any man in John 10, he said, any man climbs up any other way, he's a thief, and he's a robber. So Jesus didn't say, I'm the ways, I'm the truths. He said, I am the way. My word is the truth, singular. So if you ain't believing what that word says and you ain't believing the straight word of God and you've accepted a denominational teaching of the word of God, I'm sorry, you're in error. Ooh. Yeah, I said that loud, you're in error. Because when you take away from the word of God, you've diluted it. You've diluted it. When you take away from it and you put something in there that you believe that ain't God's word and ain't in that Bible, you've diluted and polluted the word of God. It's not a pure doctrine anymore. And the word of God says, this is pure doctrine. Amen. This is pure doctrine. I've got scripture in here that Job spoke before Jesus ever come along. He said, his doctrine is pure. It's pure. It's undefiled. Amen. It's undefiled. And the Lord spoke by one of the prophets, I think it was. He said, you turn away from this untoward generation. You turn away from them. They polluted the Word of God. You can't pollute the Word of God and have a pure doctrine. You believe what you want to, but there's still only one way. There's only one truth. There's only one life. There ain't ways. There ain't truths. There ain't religions. You ain't going to get there through Mohammed. You ain't going to get there through Buddha. You ain't going to get there through Confucius. You ain't going to get there through Tai and Zen and all these philosophies, because that's all them men were philosophers. Because I'm going to tell you something. Every one of them dead, their bones is rotted and they've turned to dust. Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. And I'm going to serve a living Savior. Amen. Down at the bottom of the page, on page 1, 1 Corinthians 8, 5 and 6, he said, for though there be lords many, and though there be gods many, or them that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, as there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. There are many gods and many lords and many teachings of many religions, but to us there is one God and the Father, of whom are all things, and his name is Jesus. Amen. His name is Jesus. I said his name is Jesus. I'm fixing to start declaring truth, and people are going to follow this truth, or God's going to give me somebody that will. Amen. God's going to give me somebody that will. Because in Ephesians 4, verse 3 through 7, he says, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit. There ain't supposed to be all this division among God's people. He said, keep the unity of the Spirit. Amen. Unity means oneness. Keep the oneness of the Spirit of God. Well, you can't keep the oneness of the Spirit of God when you got 40 people and they all believe something different. Well, Brother Matter, I don't believe like you do. Okay, why don't you? All I'm doing is following the Word. Well, I'm following the Word too. Not if you got something in there that ain't the Word of God, you ain't following the Word. Paul said we ought to be of the same mind, same judgment, speak the same thing, no division. Is that not what he said in the Word? 1 Corinthians 1 and 10, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing. You ain't going to speak the same thing and not believe like I believe. Can't do it. Well, Brother Matter, I just don't exactly see eye to eye with you on everything. Well, then we ain't speaking the same thing. We ain't speaking the same thing. Amen. And that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together. Did y'all see what that said? 1 Corinthians 1 and 10. That ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Don't look like to me there's any division in the Word of God. But I think I'd done a study on this 2 or 3 years ago, and there's 45 major denominations just in the United States alone. I'm talking about Christianity. In other words, there's 45 divisions of the truth. That's sad. But see, it's man. But what did God tell us when I was right here on my knees on August the 18th, 2017, the day before that eclipse, and I saw that sun, that moon bring the shadow over that sun, and God said, as this happens, he said, all the doctrines and traditions and the teachings of man that's been taught in error, he said, I'm blotting it out. And as that sun began to shine and an eclipse went out the other side, and we watched it. We stood on a hillside, what, 7-8 miles from here, 10 miles? And we watched it, watched every bit of it. Watched that sun come in, blot that shadow, brought that sun dark, and as it started out the other side. And I just thought about, y'all realize the sign God gave us? When that sun went completely dark, there was that herd of sheep over on that hillside. They started running around like crazy. Didn't have no leadership, didn't have no guidance, didn't have nothing. They was running around. It threw them in total confusion. Y'all remember that? They just started running around, throwed a flock of sheep over on another hill, just throwed them in confusion. They started running around. And the Lord told me, He said, as that sun went out. Y'all don't remember that? As that shadow come over that sun began to shine. God said, I'm going to bring in new doctrine. I'm going to bring in new light. I'm going to bring in new truths. And I'm going to bring you out of darkness into my marvelous light. Go back in Fort Payne and look at how many people was ministered to. And God said, I'm bringing you out of darkness into my marvelous light. I'm bringing you into truths. I'm bringing you into the truth. I'm not bringing you into theology or the doctrine of man. I'm not bringing you into ways. I'm not, because there's only one truth. There's only one way. There's only one Lord, one faith, one God, one baptism. There's only one. Amen. There's only one. There ain't ways. There ain't truths. There's one Lord, one faith, one God, one baptism. And the Lord's bringing us out of all this darkness. Darkness means ignorance of spiritual things. He said, I'm bringing you out of the ignorance of spiritual things into marvelous light. And that was 3 days or 4 days before the Lord ever spoke that prophecy on Sunday morning and told us. And man, when I started exhorting on it, I felt everybody in the congregation just about, they said, when I said the darkness was in the beginning, it wasn't natural darkness, it was spiritual darkness. Everybody went, oh, Brother Metter missed it. You feel it. Before the Lord ever spoke that prophecy. And I said, Lord spoke me at 2:30 this morning, told me the darkness that was on the face of the deep in the beginning was spiritual darkness and not natural. Everybody's eyes, the ears went up. I felt that quietness in their spirit. Brother Metter missed it. No, Brother Metter didn't miss it. Search your Bibles. Search your Bibles. God said, let there be light. That was the first day. There wasn't no sun, moon, and stars created till the fourth day. So that light had to be spiritual. That darkness had to be spiritual. I was talking to somebody the other day on the phone. I said, man, you need to go listen to that prophecy and what God spoke to me back on August 25th. Yeah, Brother Metter, what did he tell you? He told me that darkness is though in the face of the deep in the beginning was spiritual darkness. Oh, yeah? He did just like the air went out of the balloon. Oh, yeah? Yeah. I said, go read your Bible. I said, find out when the sun, the moon, the stars was created. Okay. I said, it wasn't until the fourth day. That was the first day. Really? Yeah, go read it. Okay. You could tell. Totally lost them. God is bringing us out of doctrine and traditions of men. God's bringing us out of do you know how many people are gathered together right now going into what they call worship? And it's nothing but a form of religion. It's nothing but a bondage of religion. It's nothing but a form of godliness, a form of God that denies the power. When Paul wrote to Timothy and he says, you better watch yourself around people that have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof. He said, from such do what? Turn away. He wasn't talking about sinners. Sinners don't have a form of godliness. He was talking about people supposed to be serving God. He said, if they got a form of godliness and deny the power thereof, he said, you better get away from them. And there's people that today that claim a relationship with God, claim a walk with the Holy Ghost, claim a moving of the Spirit of God, and they will talk to you about miracles, healing, deliverance. Everything they say sounds good, but there's nothing there. There's nothing there. There's no power there. There's no deliverance there. There's no move of God there. They can talk a good talk, but they can't walk a good walk. I had a man that was a drug addict come to my meeting in Sheffield, Alabama in 1994. And God changed his life. And I went back. He asked me to, He asked me to bring a tent to Tuscaloosa, and he went and got me a tent lot, got everything cleared with the city before I went there. All we had to do was come in and set up. And I come in the meeting, and he come up to me, and he said, Brother Metter, and he rented like an auditorium in a National Guard armory for two or three nights for me before we put the tent up. This was in the winter, and we put the tent up that summer, and he rented that building and had me come in and preach two or three days because the way God changed his life. And he told me, he said, I've known a lot of preachers and a lot of people claim to be serving God in my life. He said, but you not only walk the walk, talk the talk, you walk the walk. So see, it ain't just saying, it ain't just quoting scripture. Are y'all with me? It ain't just quoting scripture. Can you walk? Bible says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. The word walk, the definition of the word walk there means to occupy things pertaining to. So if you believe what you say you believe and you confess, are you occupying things pertaining to the things of God? Are you walking in them? Are you living in them? Are you believing them? If you're not, then you're just talking. Paul didn't say talk in the Spirit. He said walk in the Spirit. Okay, now. Second paragraph on page 2. I'm going to hit y'all with this one. What is the doctrine of Christ? How do we know what's right and what is wrong? What is truth and what is error? And how we determine what? How do we determine what to follow? If I just stop right here and ask y'all, can anybody tell me what the doctrine of Christ is? What could you tell me? You don't get a cheat sheet. Okay. That's what they call the apostles' doctrine. And if I turn right around and said, what is the apostles' doctrine? That'd be all people could tell me. They can't get back Acts 2 and 4 and Acts 2:38. Let me tell you something. Acts 2 and 4 and Acts 2:38 is not the apostles' doctrine. Because the apostles' doctrine and the doctrine of Christ are one and the same. The apostles' doctrine, the doctrine of Christ, and the doctrine of the kingdom of God are all the same thing. Woo! See how you get that, Brother Metter? Because Jesus didn't preach nothing but the gospel of the kingdom. And the Bible says the people were astonished at his doctrine. So if all he preached was the gospel of the kingdom, they were astonished at his doctrine, then the doctrine of Christ is the gospel of the kingdom. Would you run that by me again one more time real slow, Brother Metter? Yeah, I will. If all Jesus preached was the gospel of the kingdom, and the Bible said then the people were astonished at his doctrine, then the doctrine of Christ is the gospel of the kingdom. There's one and the same. You don't separate them. It's coming, Brother Elder, real slow. I was listening to that prophecy coming up here from the 3rd of March. I think it's 3/3/19. That was last spring. And I was listening to it coming up here, and I made my wife run it back. And I said, now listen. He got there, he got talking about the winds of the Holy Ghost blowing. Got talking about the winds of the moving. And then the Lord spoke. This was prophecy. And then the Lord spoke and said, those winds are my spirit. I said, whoa, right there, right there, right there. I said, you hear that? She said, what? He said, the winds are my spirit. Told you I'm going to preach something you ain't never heard. Ezekiel prophesied to the winds. What was he prophesying to? The moving of the Spirit of God. There's seven spirits of God. And the Spirit spoke in that prophecy and said, these winds that I am causing to move, they are my Spirit. They are my anointing. They are the working of my gifts. God's blowing on y'all and y'all didn't even know it. See how good God is to us? Just drops them little nuggets. There's one of them little nuggets God just dropped in there. Those winds are my Spirit. There's seven spirits of God. God told us in a prophecy right here 2 or 3 years ago. He said, I'm going to reveal the seven spirits of God simultaneously with opening the seven seals. He said, every seal that's open, I'm going to reveal a measure. Or I'm going to reveal one of the spirits of God with the seven seals as they're open. God is getting ready to do so much. And you know what he's waiting on? Us. So we won't be left out. So we won't miss what the Spirit of God is doing. Are y'all following with me? We've got to learn to discern and know. And buddy, I'm fixing to drop a big one right here. 1 John, if you want to just follow with me in your notes. I'm in the second paragraph on page 2, and I'm just a little way down where it says 1 John 4, 1 through 4. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets or many false teachers, if you look that up, prophet's going to be a teacher, are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses, now y'all pay attention to this, that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Y'all see this? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Are y'all following with me? Y'all listening? I teach and preach by the unction of the Holy Ghost. That when the Holy Ghost overshadowed Mary and conceived in her womb, she brought forth a flesh and blood child, baby, just like me and you. Wasn't made no different. Bible says in Romans 8 and 3, he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Romans 1 and 3 says he was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. He didn't come out of Mary's womb as a God. He didn't come out of Mary's womb as a child full of God. He came out as a man. He fought the lust of the flesh. He fought the carnal mind. He fought everything just like we did. The only thing different about him is he knew his purpose. He knew his calling. He didn't come down here with some kind of special power because he was our example. In other words, he came in. There's people that they'll fight you over this. They'll fight you over that. Oh, no, Brother Matter, he was God. No, he wasn't. Bible said he was God with us. Yeah, but the word says, when you read about the mystery of godliness, it said, for without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. That means he was revealed and brought forth in the flesh. He was not incarnate. Jesus was not God incarnate. He was a man with God living in him. By the Spirit, just like we've got the privilege to attain. Jesus Christ come in the flesh. You don't believe that? You're going to fight this? Bible says you're Antichrist. There ain't no two ways about it. This is the difference between the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of error. And yeah, I said it publicly. People got to know what they believe. You can't have this doctrine. I won't ever forget. I started studying this out a few years ago, and they got this doctrine of what they call the doctrine of peccability and impeccability. Almost every church teaches it. Oh, yeah, Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He's 100% man, could have sinned, but he's 100% God and couldn't sin. Now, what kind of sense does that make? But they teach it. Nearly every church teaches Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. And he was man and he couldn't sin, but because he's 100% God, there wasn't no way for him to sin. No, he could have. He could have because he's man. He had to overcome the lust of the flesh just like we did. He said it himself in John 16:33. He said, in the world there's tribulation, in me ye shall have peace, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And what did he say was in the world? Go to 1 John 2. He said, all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He overcame the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Everything Satan tempted him with, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, he overcame it. He put it down. He would not give in to it. He could have very easily gave into it. That's why Satan tempted him. Said, bow down and serve me. He said, no, thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Took him up on top of the temple and said, cast yourself down, for God has given the angels charge over thee. Lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone, they're going to bear thee up. He said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. First thing he showed him was all them stones. Jesus come out of 40 days of prayer and fasting, hungered. The Bible said he hungered, he was weak. And Satan said, if thou be the Son of God, make them stones bread. He said, devil. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth. See, he tempted him. Everything he said to him, if thou be the Son of God, if thou be the Son, testing him, trying to provoke him, trying to make him prove himself, tempted him. And Jesus said, I have overcome the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. When you stop and think that this man became the Christ, he became the Christ. He became the Christ that the fullness of God now lives in, and he did it as a man. Any man that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. He is Antichrist. All these doctrines out here in these divisions preach this doctrine of peccability and impeccability, trying to tell you Jesus was a man that could have sinned, but he was God and couldn't. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie. He didn't come made to take on the nature of angels. He came made in the nature of Abraham. He came made after the seed of Abraham. He could have sinned, but he didn't. He chose to please his Father. He chose to do the will of God. That's why in that garden, when he prayed so hard, till his sweat became his great drops of blood, and he offered up strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him. And he cried out, Father, if there's any way, let this cup pass from me. He said, let it pass from me. I know for this hour I was chosen. I know for this very reason I come into the world. I know I'm fixing to go into the pit of hell as an offering and a sacrifice for sin at Satan's mercy. And you're not going to be there with me. If there's any way, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, I was chosen for this. Not my will, but thine be done. And he surrendered to that. He surrendered to that will. He didn't give in to his flesh. What did he tell Peter in the garden when Peter took that sword and cut that man's ear off? He said, put up your sword. He said, you think I couldn't pray? And presently my Father would give me 10 legions of angels? A legion is between 3,000 and 6,000. Between 3,000 and 6,000. He said, you think I couldn't pray? And 30 to 60,000 angels show up and fight for me? He said, but for this purpose I was created. For this purpose came I into the world. That's why when he raised his voice on that cross and said, it is finished, he gave out a loud cry and gave up the ghost right before he did. He said, Father, into thy hands I commend. That means he put his spirit in God's trust. If he was going straight to heaven, he would not have put his spirit in God's trust. He said, into thy hands, Father, I commend. I give you charge of my spirit. You take care of me. You take care of me. But see, it was written by David. David said, thou shalt not leave my soul in hell, neither shall I suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. In other words, your flesh ain't going to lay in that grave long enough to start rotting. Your flesh ain't going to lay in that grave long to start rotting. After 2 days, I'm gonna visit you. I'm going to raise you up third day. I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to raise you up on that third day, and you're going to live. You're going to live in my sight. I'm going to raise you up on that third day. Are y'all following with me? Is anybody following with me? He said, I'm going to leave you in that grave long enough for your flesh to start rotting. And he said in Acts, by this writing of David, my flesh shall rest in hope, because I know that my God is not going to leave my soul in hell. His soul went to hell as a transgressor. His soul went to hell to fight for me and you. You read Psalms where he said, the sorrows of death and hell compass me round about. He said, ungodly men gathered around me, and I was afraid. He said, but I set my face on the Almighty. I set my face toward the Almighty, and he had to believe. He had to hold on. And after he paid for every sin that man had committed, the Spirit of God entered into him. And first there was a resurrection of the Christ. Before there was ever a resurrection of the physical body of Jesus, there was a resurrection of the Christ. And he stood up with authority and dominion over Satan, over all the demons. They couldn't do nothing. He walked over to Satan and said, give them to me. Give them to me. The devil said, what you want? He said, I want the keys of hell and death, Adam, put in your hand. I want the keys of death and hell. Right there, buddy, old boy. Right there, you're no longer going to bind man with the fear of hell. You're not going to no longer bind man. You're destroyed. Your power's destroyed. Go read Hebrews 2:14. Said, how they that he destroyed him that had the bondage of death, even the devil. For men all their lifetime feared the bondage of death. They didn't know where their soul was going until Jesus came and purchased eternal life and took the keys of death and hell away from the devil and declared, he that believeth on me shall not die, but he shall live. You ain't going to that place of spiritual death. You're going to live. Are you hearing me? You believe in me and walk with me. You're not going to that place of spiritual death, because I done took the keys of hell and death. And I am in control, and I got power over all principalities and powers, whether they be in heaven, on earth, or under the earth. I now have power over him. Ephesians 1:20, what he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Romans 8:11 said he first raised Christ from the dead, and then he raised Jesus from the dead. Two resurrections. But see, people won't preach this. It ain't popular. There are a lot of preachers know what I'm preaching. They won't preach it. You know why? People ain't spiritual enough to receive. I think Brother Metter's messing up. No, Brother Metter's preaching the gospel with power. Brother Metter's preaching the gospel that now holds the keys of death and hell. You hear me? Go to Psalms, I believe it's 18, read it. How he said the pains of death and hell get hold on me. What do you think he is talking about? Who else has the pains of death and hell got hold of him, and he's gained victory over him? Who else in Isaiah 53:10, and he said, when thy soul shall be made an offering for sin. Who else came down here in the likeness of sinful flesh? Who else come down here and took on him the seed of Abraham, didn't take on him the nature of angels? Who else? When you go back to Hebrews 2:9, said he was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death. If the Lord don't come, you're going to physically die. I'm going to physically die. All of us going to physically die if the Lord don't come, or the Lord don't work a work in us. We all going to face physical death. Then why did it say that by the grace of God he should taste death for every man? He didn't taste natural death for every man. He tasted spiritual death. And he conquered it. He conquered it. I said he conquered it. But you preach a doctrine, you preach a gospel that declares that Jesus come down here, God had victory over everything, and he didn't have to suffer, he didn't have to go through anything, he hadn't failed. You ain't preaching the truth, you're a spirit of Antichrist. What's the word say? Is that what the word says? Is that what the word says? You confess not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh, you are not of God. That is the spirit of Antichrist that's already in the world. Am I speaking out of context, or is this not in the Bible? Is this in the Bible? Whereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the, confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, where ye have heard that it should come, and even now is it already in the world. I told y'all 3 or 4 years ago while we're still in Fort Payne, I said the Antichrist, it is not a literal man. It is not a literal mark. It has nothing to do with a computer chip or a microchip in your head or your hand. It's a spirit. Talk about having a mark in your forehead. It's a spirit. Bible said here it's a spirit of Antichrist. It's a spirit. The right hand is power. This spirit's going to give the beast and the false prophet power. And if you receive that doctrine, you receive what they're preaching, you got power in your right hand and in your forehead. You've been marked. You've been marked. But you've been marked with the wrong mark. The seal that everybody runs around and says, well, God's going to seal us. Let me tell you something. God ain't going to put you in a cannon jar. That seal is a mark. The seal in the Bible was a mark. When the king wrote a letter and he put his seal on it, they put a big glob of wax on it, and he put his ring or a signet on it, and he marked it. It was from him. It ain't going to seal you like a pressure cooker. It's going to mark you with the mind of Christ. It's going to mark you with the Spirit of God. You are marked. You are marked with his mark and his mind. Till you seal the servant of God in their foreheads. The only way you're going to be sealed in your forehead is marked with the mind of Christ. Just like these people that believe the beast and the false prophet, they're going to be marked in their foreheads with this mind of this Antichrist. You go preach this doctrine that Jesus Christ did not come in the flesh and he was not a man, and you're going to preach he was God from the beginning and came down here with victory and power and authority over all devils and didn't have to go through anything or face anything, then you tell me what the temptation in the wilderness was. It was a farce. If Jesus couldn't have really been tempted, why did he go through what he went through in the wilderness? If he already had victory over the devil, if he already had victory over everything, me and you might as well hang it up. We might as well hang it up because he cannot be our example. If he didn't come made like we were, if he didn't come in the likeness of sinful flesh, made just like me and you, he can't be by example. I can't follow his example. I can't follow his teaching if he was made different. I said, well, Jesus was like us, but he's made different. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. Bible didn't say he was like us, but different. Said he was made in the likeness of sinful flesh. Did it not? And for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh. He overcame sin in the flesh. He condemned it. He conquered it. He destroyed. The nature of sin as a man. And I saw his life from the time he was a young man and everything he went through till he became the Christ. That man that was born of Mary, he was not in the beginning. The physical body of Jesus was nowhere in the beginning. That was the Word that was in the beginning. And that Word went into Mary's womb and conceived in her womb and became flesh. He became a flesh and blood man, just like me and you. Like I said, the only thing he knew was what he was called to be. And his mama taught him the Word of God. The Lord showed my wife, his mama taught him from the time he was old enough to understand, schooled him on the Word of God and the things of God. And he knew what his calling was. That's reading his 12 years old. He sat in that temple asking questions and answering the scribes and said, and when his mama found him, he said, how is it that you knew? Not that I must be about my Father's business. He knew who he was, but he did not have any special power. He was just like us. He committed himself to the will of the Father. He committed himself to the will of the Father. This is the doctrine of Christ, that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. He come made just like me and you. All right, y'all still following with me? And you go on and says that by this we know the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. Then when you get to John 14, 16, and 17, right at the bottom of page 2. He said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that you may abide. He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him not. So the world can't receive the Spirit of truth. It can't see it. It can't understand it. So people out there that are in the world that are claiming to walk with God, that the conversation is of the world, their actions is in the world, their thoughts is in the world, they can't receive the Spirit. They can't receive the Spirit. Because if you go back to page 2, right where I was reading out of 1 John 4, verse 5, it says, they are of the world, therefore they speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. World don't hear me. World don't hear me. Because I've got a spirit they can't receive. The world. They don't receive because the Bible said they cannot receive. They can't see the Spirit of truth. They can't know him. They can't receive him. They can't understand him because he proceeded forth from God. I've read people get mad at this preaching. They can't understand it. It don't go along with what they don't go along with their theology. Don't go along with what they've been taught. But it goes along with the Word of God. And the Spirit bears witness and confirms the Word. How? With signs. With signs. But I can't wait to get over to Africa. Oh, man, you talking about miracles? You talking about deliverance? Every time I went to India, God worked great miracles. Saved soul, blind eyes, deaf ears, dumb tongues. I remember I went to a church one Sunday morning after us having nearly 100,000 people in a crusade. I went to a church, and that church was up on a rooftop. They worship out in the open over there because they only have one rainy season. That starts about April or May and goes through the summer. Other than that, it's just sunshine. They don't hardly ever have rain. There's a lot of churches on the roofs over there. Well, this one just happened to be covered. They don't have very many windows and doors in India. Not when you get up on the second floor. And they brought this woman up these stairs with crippling rheumatoid arthritis. Carried her. Picked her up by the arms and little old bitty narrow stairs. Carried this woman up these stairs. And I went to minister to the sick. And she come up. And with her knees and legs and hips so bound with arthritis, she tried to get down and kiss my feet. Because that's what they do with them Hindu priests. And I reached down, got her and picked her up. I said, no, 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 no. And I talked to her about Jesus for just a few minutes. She stood there and just bawled. We got this on video somewhere. And I laid hands on that woman. Spirit of God went through her. And I took her by the hand. I said, come on now, walk with me. And we started out just like this. That's all she could do. Started out just like this. She just barely moved her feet. And then her steps got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I walked her down the aisle of that church. And people so crowded in that church. And then I let go of her and turned around, and I come on back down the aisle. Here she come, man, just stepping, high stepping. Then she started jumping and shouting and running. Power of God healed her and set her free. And that's all, man, she just jumped, didn't she? Just jumped and shouted and praised God. Miracles. Miracles. When I left the crusade, about 40,000, I was getting ready to fly home, and there was a young man that pastored a church. He was a Muslim converted. He had to hide a lot of times from the Muslim because they put a price on his head. And he had a church there probably about 3 hours out of Bombay, and we were flying there, and then we were going to catch the flight to Bombay. I told him, I said, I'm going to be at your church tomorrow night. He just hung his head. He said, you don't come to my church. He said, I ain't got about 50, 60 people. I said, you get on that bus, and he had to ride all night. And I said, you get back and you tell him I'm going to be at your church. He said, I just got a little over in the screw room, Brother Matt. It won't hold 50, 60 people. He said, you get your people. You get your people together. But I got there about 7 o'clock the next night, and we already had 300-something people. They were sitting on that schoolroom floor. They didn't sit in benches. They sat on the floor. And I had to step over people to get up there where I was going to preach. And I didn't know it, but they had some loudspeakers up on the roof. And I was standing, wasn't an area much bigger than what I'm standing in right here. And as I preached about Jesus, people kept scooting forward. And I kept backing up, and they kept scooting forward, and I kept backing up, and they kept scooting forward until I was standing a foot, about 3 or 4 foot square, and they were packed in, and I looked out, and they had the whole schoolyard packed standing out in the road. And I was preaching over them loudspeakers, and I was telling about a God named Jesus that opened the blind eyes and unstopped the deaf ears and healed the lame limbs. And I stood right there in that one little B square and prayed for people for over 2 hours. And the last lady come up. We got this on video, too, if I can find it. She was holding a little four-year-old blind boy in her arms. She come up, and I asked the interpreter, I said, what she need? She said, she heard you preach about a God named Jesus that opened the blind eyes. He looked at me, and she said, now do it. Now do it. I took a prayer cloth and told him to tell that little boy not to be afraid. And I put it across his eyes. And I prayed the prayer of faith for him. And I took that prayer cloth off. And then two dark little eyes were still set. And I told the interpreter, I said, when he sees this cloth, you tell him to tell me. The devil said, he can't see. I said, devil, you're a liar. I felt you leave. Because I cursed him in the name of Jesus, told him to leave. And I felt him leave. But I learned that when you pray for blind eyes, it might take 30, 45 seconds. It might take a minute because them eyes are set. But I prayed for, I don't know how many over that year that I would start talking to them after I prayed for them. And I remember the first man blind I prayed for, they had big halogen lights on the edge of the pavilion. This was outside. And he come up that ramp. He was drunk. He come up that ramp blind and drunk, and I laid hands on him, and God healed him. And I turned his face up and pointed it toward that light, and it was about a minute and a half, he started screaming, I can see the light, I can see the light, I can see the light. That crowd went crazy. But when I prayed for this little blind boy, his eyes stayed fixed for about 30, 45 seconds, and then I seen him move. You see it on the video when they move, and he looks up at his mama, sees his mama's face for the first time. And I'm standing there waving that handkerchief, and he put his finger out and told the interpreter, said, I see that rag that he's waving. And from that miracle right there, that woman went back to her village. That man was running 50 to 60 people. Within a week's time, he was running over 300. 280-something people come to that church and got saved and received Jesus over that one miracle. Over that one miracle. He had a church in just a couple of weeks going from 50 to 60 to over 300. That's what my God will do. That's what my God will do. That's how my God moves. That's how he bears witness that he is the Christ. That's how he bears. Because when I didn't know what the kingdom was, Sister Geneva, I was preaching the kingdom. I've always preached the kingdom. Didn't know what it was, but I preached it. That Jesus came to heal, save, deliver, set free, make whole. I preached for years Jesus came to heal the whole man. He didn't come just save your soul. He came to heal you soul, mind, and body. And God demonstrated miracles. Go back to my crusades. Miracle after miracle after miracle. Y'all was in my tent meeting in Calhoun. Y'all saw miracles. Miracles on top of miracles. First time I ever went to Brother Patterson's church, he's either 95 or 96. I prayed for people, had so many miracles that the word got out, and when I come in there the second night, people standing all the way, this was in the old church, people standing all the way back to the door, and church was packed, people standing, sitting in the aisles, and standing all the way back to the door. And about every time I go to Brother Patterson's church, I'd have that kind of crowds because they was expecting miracles. Was y'all in over here in Talking Rock first night I went back in 2012? Did y'all come? That church ain't much bigger than this. Won't seat 50, 60 people. Yeah, I had 50, 60 people in church. I had another 50, 60 standing outside. Couldn't even get in the church. They were wrapped around the building. I remember Brother Ronnie Pope. He was standing at the screen door watching what God was doing. And there were 50, 60 people standing outside with him. Couldn't even get him in the building. There was cars parked all over that place, all the way up the road around where you go out. Yeah, where you make a circle. There was cars everywhere. Because they heard us coming, and they knew this miracle. People up here know this miracle. They know this word. They know this deliverance. But now it's time to take a stand for clean living. Yeah. Sister Cat quit, and Brother Thomas quit, and son Joshua had an aneurysm. And when I laid hands on him that night, God healed him. They took him back to the doctors. That was on a Saturday. He went back on a Tuesday, I believe it was. Doctors couldn't find the aneurysm. They x-rayed him 3 or 4 times, couldn't find it. As a matter of fact, doctors actually got mad, they said. They couldn't find the aneurysm. God healed that boy. I think he's about 9, 10 years old then. I think he's about 17 or 18 now. Grow up to be a big boy. But God healed that aneurysm in a heartbeat. One miracle right after the other in that church. This church ought to be packed out just the folks God's healed. Just folks God's healed and touched their lives and changed them and delivered them. In Jasper in 2012, when we put the tent up, was there 2 weeks, miracle after miracle. Had 3 people that I know of dying with cancer, God healed. One lady already had her hair gone, had that rag tied around her head, and I prayed for her. Got testimony a month later, she was healed. She was healed. She's living in an apartment, and Sister Quentin and Brother Thomas's oldest son moved in the apartment beside her, and somehow they struck up a conversation, and she was telling him. He said, I know that preacher. He said, well, you see that preacher, you tell him God healed my cancer. I'm cancer free. I'm made whole. So this gospel of the kingdom is going to bear witness, because I'm going to preach Jesus Christ has come in the flesh. I'm going to preach he's living in my flesh in a measure. And I'm going to get a whole lot more of him. Amen. Now, I see I'm not going to have time to get in to the rest of this, but on page 3, right at the top. Now, let me go on down to the last paragraph at the bottom. Y'all see this scripture right here? Matthew 5:1-10. Do y'all know what Matthew 5:6-7 is? Sermon on the Mount. What do people call Matthew 5:6-7? Beatitudes. Amen. People treat the Beatitudes like they're a nursery rhyme. Oh, I know that. That's the Beatitudes. Let me tell you something. Matthew 5:6-7 is the basic bedrock foundation of the doctrine of Christ. But man, what'd you say? You heard what I said. Because Matthew 5:6-7 teaches you how to live right. Teach you how to treat your fellow man. Teach you how to do right. And right here, the 3rd verse. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is what? Kingdom of heaven. Going down to verse 10. Blessed are they who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. You go right on through the rest of Matthew 5, part of Matthew 6, into Matthew 7. When you get to the end of Matthew 7, it says in 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And when you get on down to Matthew 7:28-29, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these things, the people were astonished at his doctrine. So the basic foundation of the doctrine of Christ is Matthew 5:6-7, which is the apostles' doctrine, which is the gospel of the kingdom. Brother Donald, did I preach something you didn't know today? That's good. I told Brother Donald sitting in here this morning, I'm drinking coffee. I said, I'm going to preach something you ain't never heard today. He just looked at me. He said, you really going to preach something I ain't never heard? I said, yeah. Just hide and watch. See, God's letting us grow. See, people say, oh, I see Beatitudes. I know them. They don't realize these Beatitudes. Matthew 5:6-7 is the foundation of the kingdom and the doctrine of Christ. It's the foundation. It's the bedrock. It teaches you how to live to possess the kingdom. It teaches you how to treat your fellow man. It teaches you how to keep the right spirit. It teaches you how to do what's right in the eyes of the Lord. Teaches you how to endure persecution. Teaches you that when you're reviled and persecuted, that you revile not again, but you bless them that curse you. You do good to them that despitefully use you. I'm sorry, what was that? We're going to have to come to that place. See, this is teaching us the doctrine of Christ. There is no other gospel. There is no other doctrine. This is what we're supposed to live by. Take these notes and study them. They're rich. Don't leave these laying on the bench. Don't take them home, throw them on the table. Study them. The Bible says, study to show thyself approved. A workman unto God that needeth not to be ashamed. Amen. Study to show thyself approved. He told Timothy, he said, do the work of an evangelist and make full proof of thy ministry. After 17 years of evangelizing, the Lord spoke to me and said, you've done the work of an evangelist and you made full proof of your ministry because I preached the word. And he confirmed it with miracles everywhere. I mean, I couldn't tell you the miracles, and I couldn't tell you the notable miracles. And I couldn't tell you the notable miracles happened just off of prayer cloths. But see, you just don't take a prayer cloth and pray over it and send it somewhere. It's got to be a ministry. It's got to be something God's put in you. In 92, I prayed for a girl with a broke leg. She was the last one I prayed for last night of a meeting in Anderson, South Carolina. She handed me her crutches, tried to walk, she couldn't. She had a cast on from her hip to her ankle. She was roller skating. She's 14 years old roller skating. She fell, and this leg went up under, and it snapped this bone. I mean, snapped it, that big, what is the femur? Snapped that big bone. I mean, just snapped it. And they put a cast on her, and they told her, whatever you do, don't you put any pressure on that leg. Well, I prayed for her two or three times and reached forward. She tried to look. She couldn't. She really put her faith out there and couldn't. She said, it hurts too bad. I said, okay, just believe. I closed that meeting. I started in my camper because I always kept my camper behind the tent. And I reached in my pocket. When I reached in my pocket, I had two prayer cloths in there. And I was getting ready to change clothes. I laid them up on the counter. Just laid them up on the counter. The Lord said, you take them two prayer cloths out there and tie them around that cast. I went back out there. She was still there. I said, wait a minute. I said, Lord, just I tied them prayer cloths around that cast right here. Tied them around there. Tied them together. Tied them around there. I said, now. I said, you believe God. We went on, I think, to Arkansas anyway. I was in Arkansas with her aunt. Finally found where I was. Called me. Said, you remember that girl you prayed for last night, Anderson? I said, the one on crutches? She said, yeah. She said, you know, two or three days after you prayed for, God healed her. I said, what? She said, yeah, God healed her. Said, about 1 o'clock in the morning, she's laying on her bed. And Lord spoke to her, said, get up and walk. She looked around, wasn't nobody in the room. I mean, Lord spoke audible to her, said, get up and walk. She reached for her crutches. Lord said, no, you don't need them crutches. Get up and walk. You're made whole. She got up and walked, started walking up down that room. Couldn't feel no pain. She went in there, woke her mom and daddy up. By then, about 2 o'clock in the morning, woke them up. Told them what God had done for her. Went and drew a bathtub full of water. Sat down and soaked that plaster cast and peeled it off one piece at a time. Went back to the doctor the next day. They could not even find a place where that bone was broken. X-ray would not even show where that bone was broken. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, I'm giving you the same ministry I gave Apostle Paul concerning these prayer cloths. He said, you preach with these. You pray with these. He said, you send them out. He said, I'm going to work. And we've had, I can't even tell you the miracles we've had. The lives God's changed, the people that God's turned around, he'll raise them up. I know we got a letter from a lady that works right here in Jasper, Georgia. She's tax assessor or something like that. This was 3 or 4 years ago. I didn't even know about it. But it's been since we've been up here. A lady wrote me and said, I need a prayer cloth. There's a baby in intensive care dying, 7 months old. And doctors can't do nothing. I sent that lady a prayer cloth. She took it and gave it to that lady. That lady gave it to her daughter. Told her, said, you take this and put it on the baby. And she got a phone call 2 or 3 days later. And her daughter told her, said, Mama, they're gathering the family and said, looks like the baby's going to die. Her mama said, you put that prayer cloth on that baby? She said, no, I didn't think no more about it. She said, you got it? Said, no, it's at the house. Said, you go get it and you take it and put it on that baby. The instant they put it on that baby, that baby started recovering. The instant they put it on there, well, we had a lot of people praying. Yeah, you might have had a lot of people praying, but they prayed for months. But the instant that prayer cloth went on that baby, you telling me? No. That ministry, that miracle that God, that anointing, it raised that baby up. That baby's still alive today, doing fine, normal. To God be the glory. And I know I told y'all, it's just been a few months back. Little girl down there in Birmingham was in a car wreck, brain, all messed up, in a coma. They said if she lived, she'd be a vegetable. The Lord spoke to me. I think this is back in April or May. The Lord spoke to me, and I called a couple in the church in Fort Payne. It was her niece, her niece's baby that was in the intensive care. And I said, y'all go to Brother Michael. I said, I left some prayer cloths there last time I preached. Get one of them prayer cloths. Go down there. And I said, minister to that mama first. I said, the miracle lies in the mama. They ministered the mama. She repented. Turned her life around. They went in there and prayed for that kid. Put that prayer cloth on her. And within 24 hours, that kid hadn't come out of that coma in months. Hadn't even opened her eyes. That kid opened her eyes, closed her eyes back. A few hours later, opened her eyes, said, I'm hungry. Give me something to eat. She made perfectly whole. Don't tell me God don't know what he's doing. Don't tell me God don't confirm this word. But see, you don't just pray over a prayer cloth and send it. That ministry, that anointing, that word's got to be put in you. That's a gift. And God told me in 92, he said, I'm giving you this gift. I'm giving you the same ministry I gave Apostle Paul. And I can't tell you the fact. I mean, women that couldn't conceive, hadn't been able to conceive for years, they get that prayer cloth. Within 7, 8, 10 days, they conceive a child. I've seen it happen time after time after time after time. But it has to be by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Y'all appreciate this word? Let's stand for truth. Let's stand for truth. There's got to be a standard set. And I can't do it by myself. I can't pray this thing through up here by myself. It's not intended for me to pray it through by myself. Y'all got to get in here and fight with me. Amen. Let's ask God to bless this word. Father, in the name of Jesus, put this word in our spirit, put it in our hearts, put it in our minds. Let it be, Lord, that this word find good ground. God, in it, go down and take root. And God, that we can spring forth upward and bear fruit to the living Christ, the Holy One of God, let your name be magnified in Jesus' name. Amen. All you people out there on YouTube, I need you to support this. I need you to get behind us. We're going to be going to Africa this time next year. And I want to raise about $25,000, $30,000 before I go to Africa, so I'll have the means I need. And there's hundreds of you out there watching this. You can start supporting this gospel and helping me. Go to our webpage and read about the Gideon's 300 God told me about. Get behind this word, because I'm going to tell you what this word produces. This word has success. It brings results. Amen. This word brings results. I love you and appreciate you. Thank you for watching. I pray this word gets into everybody's spirit. May God bless you. I appreciate the Lord today. Please get behind this word. Don't make me fight. Don't make me beg. Don't make me struggle. Get behind this word. Amen. Now, we're going to be with Sister Geneva next Saturday at 2 o'clock. And then we're going to have service at my house in Conyers at 11:30 Sunday morning. And we've always had great service. Y'all been in a couple of them. We've always had great services down at the house. But I am not going to battle this crowd to come up here in this Apple Festival. I ain't going to do it, because getting up here.